Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1364. The Return of Sebastian Gorka, part one, subtitled Terrorist Blitzkrieg in London, This is being recorded on December 14th of the year 2024. Before we get into the main body of the broadcast of the new flash drive with all of my life's work on it, plus a mini library of old anti-fascist books, is in the process of being put together. I can't encourage people strongly enough to get that. God only knows what's going to happen, but I would be lying if I said I was optimistic. If you get the flash drive, you will at least have a running jump on being able to explain to those who come after you what the bleep happened, because I don't think things are going to go well at all. And the new flash drive used to be 32 gigabytes, but now there is too much information to fit on 32 gigs. It will contain all of my life's work, both printed and recorded, plus the brilliant comments by Parafracto, our contributing editor, and the aforementioned mini library of old anti-fascist books. Again, easy to download PDF files. Now, this program, these programs, could be construed as, well, hopefully a warning. I'm hoping that perhaps these little meager efforts will preclude something that may be in the offing. There has been an account on the Internet. Now, I take so much of what is on the Internet with a grain of salt, but it has been alleged that webcams in London have gone dark. Well, I don't know if that's the case. Obviously, I'm not in London. I think that is something that should be relatively easy to determine. What I find frightening about that, and again, the blogger whose information I will access has opined something similar, which that there may be a false flag operation at work, possibly in London or elsewhere, to be blamed on, quote, Russia, unquote. There is already quite a propaganda front that has been put together framing just such a hypothetical event as, you know, Russian terrorism, blah, 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 blah. It has been a matter of inquiry for me that as to, you know, what the powers that be are going to do about the Ukraine war. They are losing very badly, and I don't see them just throwing up their hands and going, well, I guess Russia won. So they're going to do something, in my opinion. It remains to be seen what they can do, what they will do, but the possibility, and again, it is only a possibility, but I want to note the possibility with a capital B, that they may stage some kind of false flag operation to be blamed on Russia and use as an excuse to do God knows what, begin World War III, who knows. That is among the possibilities I hold open here. I would note that we have seen false flag operations worked against Russia in the past. The bounding of flight MH17 was blamed on Russia. It actually appears to have been done by Ukrainian fascist elements. The Maidan snipers were blamed on the Russian Awad regime of Yanukovych. That too was a false flag operation. It appears that Pravi Sektor and other OUMB successor groups contributed to the snipers, also the Georgian Legion, that were doing the shooting in Maidan Square in 2014. We have seen the alleged Novichok attack on the Skripals, in the UK, by the way, that again, it bears a similarity to the allegation that Novichok, again, a state-of-the-art nerve gas, a gram of which will kill thousands of people, supposedly that was put in Alexei Navalny's underwear. Well, if Novichok was put in his underwear, he would be dead, folks. The people who handled his underwear would have died. unless they have hazmat suits. I guess Captain Underpants in a hazmat suit. But given the level of absolute BS, with a capital A, a capital B, and a capital S, that has been allowed to wash by our media, the possibility of some sort of massive false flag operation in the UK is something we have to be careful of. I would note that a key British intelligence chief has warned about, high, mass casualty, Russian terrorist incidents, blah, 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 blah. And there certainly does appear to have been a British intel role in some of the past provocations, such as the alleged Novichok poisoning of the Skripals. We're going to look at that, and we're also going to look at Donald Trump's appointment of a man named Sebastian Gorka, last name capital G-O-R-K-A, as his, quote, terrorism czar, unquote. It's very interesting to me that whenever someone gets appointed, whether they're the border czar like Tom Homan, who, by the way, is associated with the Federation of American Immigration Reform, an outgrowth of the Pioneer Fund, one of the eugenics organizations bankrolled by the same milieu, the Draper family, that also helped to finance the Third Reich. The terrorism czar. Whenever somebody gets appointed to a position of responsibility in this country, they call them the czar. I think that's very interesting. Of course, that harkens back to the czar who was the head of the Russian Empire. The word czar, like the word Kaiser, derives from Caesar. That's what its point of derivation. But we've now got Sebastian Gorka as Donald Trump's new terrorism czar. He, like so many of Trump's appointees, is a Russia-phobe and Russia-hawk. And Sebastian Gorka is also something else. He is a member, according to everything we've been able to determine, of an organization called Vitezi Rend. I may be mispronouncing that, capital V-I-T-E-Z-I. And the second word is capital R-E-N-D. That is a Ukraine, not Ukrainian, but a Hungarian fascist organization. It is allegedly explicitly anti-Semitic, and it was had considerable overlap with the Hungarian Arrow Cross. That was the Hungarian fascist movement that was associated, that was allied with Adolf Hitler's Third Reich. We're going to take a look at Sebastian Gorka. And also in a second article, it is maintained that Sebastian Gorka apparently had some of his gravitas generated by British intelligence, and that his father had worked for British intelligence, and it was allegedly his father in the Hungarian uprising of 1956, itself very closely allied with Third Reich intelligence, who was sprung from prison by Vitezi Rend. With an ardent Russophobe and someone with a heritage that goes back to Hungarian fascism, as does the Republican Ethnic Outreach Council, about which we spoke at the end of our last program, with someone like that being the, quote, terrorism czar, unquote, I think we need to be on the alert. Sebastian Gorka has said that Donald Trump is going to, fix Putin's wagon, words to that effect. One of the things that just amazes me is how people just don't learn. I mean, it's just, well, Donald Trump is going to, he's the peace candidate, and he's going to bring peace in Ukraine. Well, really? Well, who is maintaining the Starlink satellites that are used by not only Ukrainian forces, but their NATO allies for various ISR purposes? That is Elon Musk. He's making a lot of money off of that. So Donald Trump is going to cut Elon Musk off of one of his sources of money. I wouldn't bet on that. And I wouldn't bet on Donald Trump going against all of the cold warriors and the fascists with which he has been and the Republicans have been historically allied. I wouldn't bet on that at all. But again, supposedly Donald Trump is going to work things out in Ukraine. There are many people who in the Republican Party who have opined that Ukraine is a corrupt state. It is one of the most corrupt states in the world, and that therefore U.S. aid is not going where it is supposed to go. Well, there's nothing unusual about that. We have many countries where that is the case. But I will believe that Donald Trump will bring peace to Ukraine when I see it and until I see it. And it doesn't matter what he says. I would not believe a word that comes out of his mouth. He said he was going to reduce the price of groceries for Americans, and now, gee whiz, maybe that's not going to be the case. And he promised he wouldn't cut Social Security and Medicare, and gee whiz, the Republicans are talking about doing that. I mean, can you imagine that Donald Trump may not be telling the truth? Gosh, I'm shocked, shocked. I mean, no one could accuse the American people of being fast learners. I mean, it's just, you know, they had 4 years of Trump in the past, and now they are getting Trump yet again. I don't like what's going to be happening to me, but, you know, I think, the tragedy of about what is going to happen is for the kids. They didn't ask for this. As the ancient Greeks observed, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. But I don't feel sorry for the adults. They did ask for this, and they're damn well going to get it. And I'm sorry that I am going to be one of those adults, but I'm doing what I can to ameliorate things. Now, let's begin by taking a look at the terrorism czar designate Sebastian Gorka. This article is from Consortium News of November 26th of 2024. It is by John Kiriakou. I may be mispronouncing his last name, capital K-I-R-I-A-K-O-U. And it is titled John Kiriakou, Sebastian Gorka is back. Subtitled, this time around, Trump has elected to ignore the FBI security clearance vetting process for the sworn member of the Tezi Rend, a Hungarian group that served under the Nazis. Again, I can't believe, you know, what you mean, someone who served under the Nazis is going to be working for Donald Trump. There must be some mistake here. Obviously, I'm kidding. The article reads as follows. Sebastian Gorka is back. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump last week named Gorka as the administration's, quote, terrorism czar, unquote, on the National Security Council. Trump has made a series of disastrous appointments to his administration since his election on November 5th, but this might be the worst. Don't remember Sebastian Gorka? 8 years ago, when Trump was elected president for the first time, Gorka was one of his more controversial appointments as, quote, deputy assistant to the president for national security affairs, unquote. That is, deputy national security advisor. That is a hugely important position. The deputy national security advisor assists the president in managing the entire intelligence community and manages the administration's anti-terrorism efforts. But Gorka immediately ran into trouble. As it turned out, Gorka was apparently a sworn member of Hungary's neo-Nazi Vitezi Rend, capital, again, capital V-I-T-E-Z-I, second word, capital R-E-N-D, or, quote, Order of Heroes, unquote, a group that the State Department says was, quote, under the direction of the Nazi government of Germany during World War II, unquote, and which continues to be neo-Nazi in its orientation. Gorka only became an American citizen in 2012, and membership should have disqualified him not only from citizenship, but even from entering the United States in the first place. Furthermore, at Donald Trump's 2017 inauguration, Gorka actually wore the uniform and the badge of the Vitezi Rend, and the Times of Israel newspaper reported that he may even have inherited them from his Nazi grandfather. A Jewish newspaper, The Forward, broke the news of Gorka's membership in Vitezi Rend. It said that the group's own leaders confirmed that Gorka took a, quote, lifelong oath of oil of loyalty. Well, lifelong oath of loyalty. Given how greasy and slippery so many of Trump's people are, that maybe would be appropriate. But let me read that again. A Jewish newspaper, The Forward, broke the news of Gorka's membership in Vitezi Rend. It said that the group's own leaders confirmed that Gorka took a, quote, lifelong oath of loyalty, unquote. Gorka has ignored multiple email requests for comment. Bruce Einhorn, E-I-N-H-O-R-N, a retired immigration judge and current professor of nationality law at Pepperdine University, told The Forward that Gorka's, quote, silence speaks volumes, unquote. Einhorn continued that Gorka's, quote, failure to disclose a material fact, unquote, his membership in a racist organization that promotes violence, could undermine the validity of both his immigration status and his claim to U.S. citizenship. No statute of limitations exists for such a violation. Continuing. To make matters worse, to make matters even more revolting, according to The Forward, men who have sworn allegiance to the Vitezi Rend are permitted to take a, quote, lowercase, quote, V, unquote, as a middle initial, and as a secret symbol of brotherhood. Gorka used the lowercase V, signing his name in both his 2008 doctoral thesis and in his testimony before Congress in 2011 as, quote, Sebastian L., small lowercase V, Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, unquote. In the end, the FBI wouldn't give Gorka a security clearance, and after only 7 months, he was forced to resign. This time around, however, Trump has elected to ignore the FBI security clearance vetting process and has announced that Gorka will be the deputy national security advisor and terrorism czar. Period. The role does not require Senate confirmation, and technically Trump can simply decree that Gorka will receive a top security clearance. FBI, be damned. I would add that Kash Patel, the nominee by Donald Trump to run the FBI, is promising to pretty much clear out the FBI. It remains to be seen what happens in that regard. Continuing. There actually has been some fallout from the appointment. Michael Anton, A-N-T-O-N, a national security official in Trump's first term, who was in line to be deputy national security advisor, took himself out of contention. When he was told there would be a position waiting for Gorka, according to the Washington Post, one more time, Michael Anton, a national security official in Trump's first term, who was in line to be deputy national security advisor, took himself out of contention when he was told that there would be a position waiting for Gorka, according to the Washington Post. The Israeli media, which has long been a source of support for Trump, is furious that an overt anti-Semite would hold such a position of authority. And an unnamed member of the Trump National Security Transition Team told the Post, quote, almost universally, the entire team considers Gorka to be a clown. They're dreading working with him, unquote. Gorka has been largely silent since the election. He has only given interviews to his old friend and colleague Steve Bannon, and he says he provided Israel with advice on how to confront Hamas. What was that advice? Quote, kill every single one of them. God bless Israel, God bless Judeo-Christian civilization, unquote. That's a strange position for a Nazi. Well, actually, there is an element both of the eschatological Christian milieu and also overlapping Nazi elements that sees the establishment of Israel as the prequel, so to speak, for the battle of Megiddo or Armageddon, basically the end of the world. And at that point in time, all of the world's Jews will either convert to Christianity or be liquidated. So it's not necessarily that remote a situation. But please do note that Donald Trump's, quote, terrorism czar, again, I love the use of that term. Love is being sarcastic, but he is someone whose roots are firmly in the tradition of Hungarian fascism. And as I've noted in the past, in addition to the Third Reich, there were many other Eastern and Central European fascist movements that were part of the Third Reich's consortium. In addition to the Hungarian Arrow Cross, there was also the Romanian Iron Guard, the Bulgarian National Front, the Ukrainian OUNB, various Baltic organizations, the Slovakian Linka Party, and the Croatian Ustashi, among others. One of those, again, was the Arrow Cross. I've spoken about that at great length in the past. Now, the Gray Zone publication of November 25th of 2024 has discussed the background of Sebastian Gorka, and they ask this question. Sebastian Gorka, British intelligence agent, question mark. It is co-authored by Kip Klarenberg, K-L-A-R-E-N-B-E-R-G, and Max Blumenthal. And again, this is from the Gray Zone of November 25th of 2024. And this notes that Sebastian Gorka's involvement with British intelligence, and also notes that his father apparently was affiliated with the Tezi Rand. And the Times of Israel article has examined whether perhaps this comes from Gorka's grandfather. This article reads as follows. Now, again, note that it is in the UK that the webcams have allegedly gone dark. Again, put a question mark by that. I'm not obviously in the UK. I can't verify that. But there is no harm done if we discuss it. If, in fact, there is a monster false flag operation scheduled for London or the UK, perhaps that is in anticipation of same. If there isn't a big false flag operation in London, well, no harm done. But if there is, there may be a great deal of harm done. But in any event, Sebastian Gorka and British intelligence. Again, the Kip Klarenberg has done some excellent work, and Max Blumenthal is the editor of the Gray Zone, the son, by the way, of Sidney Blumenthal, the editor, along with Harvey Azizian, of the book Government by Gunplay from Signet Books of 1976, one of the very first books I read about this country's political assassinations. And we read a long op-ed piece from The Guardian in For the Record program number, I think that was 1356. Maybe it's 1355. In any event, it is on the record. Now, about Sebastian Gorka and his involvement with British intelligence. Sebastian Gorka's involvement with British intelligence cost him a security clearance in Hungary. His longtime mentor is a UK spook currently engaged in covert operations against Russia. Is the Ukraine hawk and Trump counterpair appointee operating on London time? Well, he may be operating on U.S. time as well, or Trump time. After years in the wilderness of right-wing radio, where he flamboyantly proclaimed his loyalty to President-elect Donald Trump for years, Sebastian Gorka has finally found his way back into Trump's inner circle, earning an appointment as incoming White House counterpairer advisor. Gorka served as Trump's deputy assistant advisor on national security issues for 8 months in 2017, storming out of his job with a petulant resignation letter that, quote, blamed forces, unquote, within the administration that did not support Trump's MAGA promise, and would make America great again promise. During his brief tenure in the White House, Gorka, a London-born immigrant, was credited with masterminding the president's so-called Muslim ban, unquote, which refused admission to the U.S. for citizens of countries identified as national security threats. Again, parenthetically, I would note that a large percentage of the large Muslim population in Michigan, a swing state, did not vote for Kamala Harris. They voted apparently for Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, because they did not like Kamala Harris's or the Biden administration's actions vis-a-vis Gaza, which I can certainly understand. But boy, talk about not understanding which side your bread is buttered on. They're gonna love Donald Trump. And he was such a wonderful friend of the Muslims the first time around. Continuing. While Democrats have hammered Gorka as a, quote, far-right extremist, unquote, and a MAGA sycophant, he has stood out as a voice of Biden foreign policy continuity within Trump world, pledging further aggression against Russia and even greater military aid to Kiev. During a November 23rd interview, for example, Gorka promised that, quote, the aid that we have given to Ukraine thus far will look like peanuts, unquote, if, again, quoting the murderous KGB colonel, unquote, Vladimir Putin, does not obey Trump's dictates. And again, I'm wondering, is there going to be a monster false flag operation in Britain or London? Continuing, Gorka's full story explains why his views on the Ukraine proxy war track back more closely with those of the anti-Trump turncoat John Bolton than incoming Vice President J.B. Vance, who has vowed to negotiate an end to the conflict. As this investigation will demonstrate, the mindset of the transatlantic policy operative was molded primarily through his intimate involvement in British intelligence circles, not his role within the America First Movement. The son of an anti-communist Hungarian exile, Gorka joined a British Army intelligence unit while still in university. When he entered the world of national security studies, he learned at the knee of a notoriously conniving British military intelligence officer named Chris Donnelly, capital B-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y, who has dedicated his career to instigating conflict with Russia and was exposed by the Gray Zone as an architect of the notorious Kerch Bridge bombing. That was a Russian-built bridge to Crimea. Continuing, Donnelly personally endorsed Gorka's Ph.D. thesis, granting him the imprimatur of a top intelligence officer in the British Ministry of Defense. The relationship fueled Gorka's career within the burgeoning Atlanticist military infrastructure. It ultimately cost him security clearance in his family's native Hungary, where the country's National Security Office suspected him of being a UK spy. They did? I can't imagine where they got a crazy, or, you know, those crazy Hungarians. Soon after Gorka, there must be too much Gulag in the continuum. As Nietzsche observed, a joke is the epigram on the death of a feeling. Continuing, soon after Gorka resigned from the first Trump administration, leaked documents exposed Donnelly as the founder of a secret UK state-funded influence operation called the Integrity Initiative, which was aimed at drumming up war with Russia through a covert international propaganda network. A 2017 funding proposal submitted by the Integrity Initiative to the British Ministry of Defense promised to deliver a, quote, tougher stance on Russia, unquote, by arranging for, quote, more information published in the media on the threat of Russian active measures, unquote. When Donnelly visited Washington in 2018 to expand his secret initiative, the first item on his agenda was breakfast with Gorka. To this day, Gorka refuses to discuss the meeting or any aspect of his relationship with Donnelly, erupting with rage at reporters who have dared to inquire about the long friendship. Gorka's security clearance rejected, quote, due to his connections with British intelligence, unquote. That's the section of the next article. That's the title of the next section of the article. Sebastian Gorka grew up in London in the shadow of his father, Paul, an exiled Hungarian nationalist activist affiliated with the Vitezi Rend, an anti-communist order that collaborated with Nazi Germany during World War II. Sebastian Gorka blames Kim Philby, the British double agent, for betraying his father to the Soviets, leading to his imprisonment and seemingly exposing his father's role as an MI6 asset. However, Paul Gorka provided a different account of his capture in an interview with the British historian and Holocaust revisionist David Irving, claiming Hungarian intelligence broke his cell after discovering papers on one of his cell's couriers. After members of the Tezi Ren broke Paul Gorka out of prison during their failed 1956 attempt to topple the country's communist leadership, he found refuge in the UK. From London, Paul Gorka worked for the British government, helping them vet anti-communist emigre arriving from Hungary. Young Gorka's mother, Susan, found part-time work as a translator for Irving, the Holocaust revisionist historian. One more time. This is very, very interesting. Young Gorka, Sebastian Gorka's mother, Susan, found part-time work as a translator for Irving, the Holocaust revisionist historian. By the way, he wrote the introduction to Reinhard Gehlen's autobiography, David Irving did. Continuing. She, Gorka's mother, was credited as an interpreter in his 740-page tome, Uprising, One Nation's Nightmare, 1956, unquote, which portrayed the CIA and MI6-backed Hungarian Rebellion of 1956 as a workers' insurrection against a corrupt communist leadership, which happened to be disproportionately Jewish. With the collapse of the Soviet bloc, Sebastian Gorka set his sights on a career serving British national security interests. From 1990 to 1993, Gorka served in Unit 22 of the British military's Territorial Army Intelligence Corps as an interrogator. The duties he carried out in the intelligence unit later became a source of intrigue and remain mysterious to this day. In 1999, following a fellowship at NATO, Gorka returned to Hungary to revise the first government of Viktor Orban, establishing himself as a prominent national security commentator in the country of his family's origin. 3 years later, when Hungary's new Prime Minister, Peter Megyese, M-E-B-G-Y-E-S-S-Y, probably mispronouncing that, faced accusations that he had conducted counter-espionage operations for the country's communist government 20 years prior, Gorka was selected to investigate the charges on a parliamentary committee. However, the country's National Security Office rejected the security clearance he needed to join the committee because, as the Hungarian news outlet Origo, O-R-I-G-O, reported, it, quote, became risky from a national security point of view due to Gorka's connections with British intelligence, unquote. As the scandal swirled in Hungarian media, dramatically different accounts of Gorka's involvement in British Army intelligence appeared in the media. The UK's Sunday Times reported that Gorka's duties in the unit included gathering, quote, evidence for the war crimes tribunal set up after the collapse of Yugoslavia, unquote. However, Gorka claimed to Hungarian media, again quoting, I never dealt with intelligence. We were tasked with guarding key facilities in Northern Ireland, such as fending off IRA threats, unquote. It was unclear how Gorka could have served in two regions at around the same time, or what his intelligence duties actually entailed. When contacted by American reporters about his service, the British Military of Defense declined to provide details. I think it should have been the British Ministry of Defense, not British Military, but anyway, continuing. A year after being publicly accused of working for British intelligence, Gorka left Hungary for the U.S., quote, my American wife and I woke up one morning and realized America was the future, unquote, he claimed. The next section, Bumley praises Gorka's, quote, academic excellence, unquote. The scandal over Gorka's security clearance received a smattering of coverage from liberal blogs when he was appointed to serve during the first Trump administration in 2017. But U.S. media has not written a word about the much more consequential relationship he enjoyed with the British intelligence officer Chris Bonnelly. finally brought Gorka under his wing during the post-Cold War period, while he personally lobbied for NATO enlargement in former Soviet satellite states like Hungary. The officer's 2005 work, quote, Nations, Alliances, and Security, unquote, was edited by Gorka, who also wrote its foreword. 2 years later, Gorka published a PhD dissertation on, quote, Content and End State-Based Alteration in the Practice of Political Violence Since the End of the Cold War, unquote. Bonnelly, then chief of the British Ministry of Defense Intelligence Unit, known as the Advanced Research and Assessment Group, offered a glowing, quote, external review, unquote, of Gorka's doctorate, describing it as, quote, a work not only of academic excellence, but also of significant policy relevance, unquote. In October 2008, Britain's Ditchley Foundation, which holds regular conferences on the topic of British-American relations, convened an event in conjunction with the Foreign Office on, quote, the future of NATO in Europe and globally, unquote. Both Bonnelly and Gorka appeared on the discussion panel alongside spies, high-ranking military NATO officials, and lawmakers. The meeting was, quote, deliberately timed to sit between the Bucharest summit of April of 2008 and the 60th anniversary summit in April of 2009, the 60th anniversary of NATO. The Bucharest summit was where NATO member states agreed that Georgia and Ukraine, quote, will become members of NATO, unquote. Then U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has since written with intense regret about the decision, which laid the foundations for Russia's crushing of Tbilisi in a brief war 5 months later, as well as the current Ukraine proxy conflict. When Gorka and his mentor reunited in Washington almost a decade later, Bonnelly was intent on working his connections to drive conflict with Russia. The next section, Bonnelly meets secretly in D.C. with Gorka, pushing war with Russia. During Donald Trump's first term, as the president battled a deluge of partisan propaganda painting him as a Putin puppet, and with American liberals transformed overnight into frothing Russophobes, British intelligence gleaned a perfect opportunity to escalate a simmering new Cold War. On September 18, 2018, Integrity Initiative Chief Chris Bonnelly flew into Washington to expand his new covert influence network. The following morning, he headed straight to breakfast with his former understudy, Sebastian Gorka. Afterwards, Bonnelly took a car to the Arlington, Virginia offices of CNA, the think tank adjunct of the U.S. Center for Naval Analyses, and key Integrity Initiative, quote, partner, unquote, in D.C., to deliver a lengthy presentation on, quote, mapping Russian influence activities, unquote. Leaked files of Bonnelly's initiative listed Gorka's wife, Catherine, as a key contact. At the time, she was a senior advisor at the Department of Homeland Security. Today, she is the chair of the GOP in Northern Virginia's Fairfax County, a hub for private military and intelligence contractors. The same file described how the organization's clusters, quote, engage only very discreetly with governments based entirely on trusted personal contacts and try to influence them greatly. The same file described how the organization's clusters, quote, engage only very discreetly with governments based entirely on trusted personal contacts and try to influence them gently, unquote. On that basis, both Gorkas clearly fit the bill for Integrity Initiative cluster members, even though the covert operation played an apparent role in several propaganda operations aimed at destroying Trump and subverting his agenda. For instance, Integrity Initiative operatives were instrumental in circulating disgraced MI6 Officer Christopher Steele's bogus Trump-Russia dossier at the highest levels of the U.S. government and in turn disseminating it throughout Western media. That connivance was clearly aimed at delegitimizing Trump while boxing his administration into a belligerent stance on Russia. In Britain, Integrity Initiative operatives fraudulently linked the Brexit referendum's results to Russian meddling. In Spain, meanwhile, the initiative spread disinformation falsely portraying the Catalan independence movement as a Russian-controlled operation delivering a body blow to cordial relations between Madrid and Russia. In March of 2021, when grilled by the American Conservative about his secret meeting in D.C. with Donnelly, Gorka exploded, telling the outlet's reporter to, quote, go to hell, unquote, and asking, quote, who the hell they were to ask him about, quote, private conversations with a friend, unquote. Gorka refused to discuss his bond with Donnelly any further. His similarly ignored questions sent by the Gray Zone through direct message to his personal Twitter X account. Today, Donnelly helps oversee Britain's clandestine role in the Ukraine proxy war. As the Gray Zone revealed, Donnelly oversaw the blueprints for the Ukrainian terror attack which damaged the Russian-built Kerch Bridge in October of 2022. By design, the bombing was a pivotal step up the escalation ladder. Now, as Trump sets out to fulfill his promise to end the conflict in Ukraine, Donnelly enjoys a direct line to one of the president's top national security aides, who happens to be his longtime understudy. And I would note again, he is Donald Trump's, quote, terrorism czar, unquote, and also apparently someone affiliated with an Arrow Cross-affiliated organization in World War II Hungary. And again, this really should not come as a great surprise, given all of what we have spoken about in the past concerning the strong affinity, I should say, between the Republican Party and the Republican Ethnic Outreach Heritage Council, which is essentially a branch of the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations within the Republican Party proper. And we perhaps will review that in our next program. But this was one of the things that I think we need to be aware of. Now, this post certainly has some BS in it. And, in fact, much of the post may be BS. But, you know, I am not obviously in London. I cannot speak as to whether the webcams have gone silent. But given the level of obvious disinformation, with a capital O and a capital B, that has been allowed to wash, I think we very much need to be on the alert for a false flag, a monster false flag terrorist attack, if not in London, somewhere, to be blamed on Russia. And with the Tezzy Wren's boy, Sebastian Gorka, as Donald Trump's new, quote, terrorism czar, unquote, that adds yet more gravitas to the situation. The fact that Paul Gorka, Sebastian Farber, apparently also had links to British intelligence, as well as to the Tezzy Wren, should also be taken into account here. Now, this is from the Anti-Spiegel blog. The Spiegel, Der Spiegel is a very prominent mainstream German publication. I assume this is German. But Anti-Spiegel, of December 4th of 2024, it is titled False Flag Operation Planned in Europe. Warnings of alleged Russian terrorist acts in Europe are increasing. And it notes that articles keep appearing in European media warning of an impending, quote, Russian terror wave, unquote. Is this intended to pave the way for a false flag operation to finally make Europeans ready for war against Russia? Question mark. And it reads as follows. The fact that governments and secret services use false flag operations to get their populations to finally get excited about wars that their government wants is nothing new. Just remember the incident in the Gulf of Tonkin where North Vietnam is said to have attacked U.S. warships, which the U.S. government invented to make the Vietnam War more palatable to the public. I would also add, I think the COVID-19 virus, which comes from the U.S. It does come from a laboratory. The laboratory ain't in China. It didn't bleep and leak. I think that could be seen as the Northwoods virus. I've spoken about that in the past, and put in finishing touches on an article for my Patreon platform about that as well. Continuing. Well, the incubator lie that the U.S. government used to convince the population in 1991 that an attack on Iraq was a great idea. By the way, for those of you who are too young to remember, this was the notion that Iraqi soldiers in Kuwait were pulling away Kuwaiti babies off of incubators and killing them. It turned out to be a lie, and the woman who made that allegation on the floor of Congress was connected to some of the forces that stood to benefit from a U.S. attack on Iraq and in Kuwait. Continuing. These are just two examples where it was completely undisputed that Western governments have no complaints about using false flag operations or even completely fabricated lies to prepare their populations for war. I will refrain from listing further examples, but most readers will know of others. Currently, European governments are faced with the problem that their populations are not prepared to enter into an open war with Russia, which is why there has been speculation for months that Western intelligence services are preparing a false flag operation with many casualties somewhere in Europe, which they can then blame on Russia. The effect would be the same as always. The emotional shock at the event and especially the media coverage causes among the population will switch off even the last remnants of critical thinking, and no one will demand a lengthy investigation, but will immediately call for war and revenge. I am not a fan of such predictions, but I have seen a pattern in recent months that fits with the previous lies used to drive populations into war. That pattern has always been that the media, citing Western intelligence services, of course, have reported again and again about the supposedly impending danger. When it happened, they were able to distract from the lie by referring to the previous warnings rather than demanding a thorough investigation before a hasty military response. We have seen this again in recent months as the Western media are increasingly reporting on alleged or allegedly planned Russian acts of terror and sabotage in Europe. There is no evidence, and often there are not even far-fetched incidents, just as the warnings that the media have from supposedly confidential intelligence sources. At the end of August, I already reported on this media campaign, which is running subliminally but continuously in the West. The cargo plane that recently crashed in the Baltics was also immediately described by Western politicians and media as a, quote, possible Russian attack, unquote, although there was no evidence of this. And it is now disputed that it was not sabotage, but in all probability pilot error. But these reports become embedded in people's subconscious if they were repeated often enough. And who in the editorial offices of Western media cares about facts? A particularly gruesome piece of propaganda on the subject has now appeared in the British Express, which I have translated for illustration purposes, yet this obviously comes from Germany. Continuing, I have added comments to the article to demonstrate the audacity of the propaganda and the lies used. If this were just an isolated case, one could dismiss it with a smile, but since Western media have been reporting such things for months, I would like to at least point out the danger of a possibly planned false flag operation, which could then be blamed on Russia. And then the translation here. Vladimir Putin plans mass casualties, unquote, in Europe in revenge for supporting Ukraine. The head of MI5 warned that Russia was, quote, on a sustained mission to wreak havoc on British and European streets, unquote. Vladimir Putin is targeting Europe to cause, quote, mass casualty incidents, unquote, one expert warned. Relations between Moscow and the West have deteriorated completely since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Recently, the Russian despot and his allies in Moscow threatened retaliation when Britain and the U.S. allowed Ukraine to attack Russian territory with their missiles. And then translators note, what an impudence. How can the Russian despot threaten retaliation just because the U.S. and U.K. are firing missiles at Russia? One question. How would London and Washington react if Russia openly fired missiles at the U.S. and U.K.? Continuing. However, experts believe that Russia is already attacking Britain and other Ukraine allies in Europe. Keir Giles, J-I-L-E-S, senior consulting fellow at Chatham House and author of, quote, Who Will Defend Europe, unquote, gave an example that shows Putin is more than willing to kill people in Europe if necessary. He told The Telegraph, quote, It is impossible to say how widespread this is because we only see what comes to light, and some of what comes to light is accidental. Some countries are very careful to keep it under wraps, unquote. Again, quoting, We should be concerned that Russia is willing to consider an attack in Europe that would cause mass casualties, as the attack on the plane showed. That was the one element that was missing from the murderous sabotage campaigns of the past decades, and that is worrying, unquote. Mr. Giles was referring to the plane crash near Vilnius, Lithuania last week. Translator's note, as expected, the man from Chatham House is deliberately lying to the public because it is now quite clear, especially after analyzing radio traffic, that the plane crashed due to pilot error. There is no evidence of sabotage. So Giles from Chatham House is deliberately lying to confirm the narrative of alleged Russian attacks in Europe that British intelligence services are fueling for some reason, and British media, in this case the Express, are willing to help. A crew member was killed when the cargo plane crashed, hit a house, and then burst into flames. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz expressed suspicion that the crash could have been caused by Russian sabotage, although Lithuania denied this. Translator's note, whatever Scholz said immediately after the crash is completely irrelevant because it is now clear that there was no sabotage, not even Russian sabotage. The author of the article knows this, too, if he doesn't already know that he urgently needs to look for a new job due to incompetence. But he writes it anyway to lie to the readers and feed the desired narrative of the Russian enemy. However, Western security agencies have claimed that the planting of firebombs on planes planned for Britain and Germany in July were part of a covert Russian operation. Translator's note, again, it is Western, quote, security agencies, unquote, that are pushing the narrative for some reason, even though there is not a single published and documented evidence of this so far. A DHL warehouse in Birmingham went up in flames after a package being flown to the UK was allegedly rigged with incendiary devices. Translator's note, again, there is no proven link to Russia, just the word alleged. Is Russia now to blame for every fire that breaks out in Europe? I would probably, continuing, and there can be no talk of, quote, mass casualties, unquote, when a warehouse goes up in flames without anyone being injured. The author simply packs various incidents that are obviously unrelated into one article, and suggestions, of course, without providing any evidence that Russia is behind all of the incidents. MI5 Director Ken McCullum said in a speech last month that Russia was trying to create, quote, chaos, unquote, in Britain. He said, again quoting, We should prepare ourselves for the fact that there will continue to be aggression in this country, unquote. Translator's note, this is also suggestive propaganda when he speaks of, quote, continues, unquote, which suggests that something has been going on for a long time, which, as we have seen, is not the case at all. Quote, the GRU, Russian Military Intelligence Service in particular, is intent on creating chaos on British and European streets, as we have seen arson, sabotage, and more. Dangerous actions carried out with increasing recklessness, unquote. Well, again, I think that article pretty much speaks for itself. We're being told that there's all sorts of evidence of Russian sabotage in Western Europe. And, in fact, two fires, a plane crash and a fire in a warehouse in Britain, none of which can be proved to have anything to do whatsoever with Russia, are the elements of proof, unquote, that are being offered up here. Now, again, in our next program, we are going to begin by taking a look at the Alex Kreiner Substack. Are they planning a false flag in London? And, again, this is predicated on something I cannot verify, that webcams in London have gone blank. Again, that may be disinformation. I don't know. I'm not in London. But if, in fact, that is the case, I do not think we would necessarily be told about that. And certainly having those webcams go dark, if that is, in fact, the case, would be something that would facilitate a mass casualty false flag operation in London. And as we will see, as we have seen in the past, British intel has been linked to things like that. Time permitting, in our next article, we'll read about another wonderful article from Kip Clarenberg about the Skripals were allegedly poisoned by Russian intelligence, and in fact the evidence points to the West, it points to British intel and to the CIA. But again, I think with Sebastian Gorka of the Tezi Rend having been appointed Donald Trump's, quote, terrorism czar, unquote, at the NS, at the National Security Council, and with Sebastian Gorka, not surprisingly, being a militant, frothing-at-the-mouth Russophobe, I think the stage is set for just such a false flag terrorist operation to be blamed on Russia, and to see to it that Donald Trump's alleged peace initiatives in Ukraine do not come to fruition. But again, we will see what we will see. Now, please, I am not optimistic. Please get the 64-gigabyte flash drive of all of my life's work on it, both printed and recorded. There was also a small mini library of old anti-fascist books on easy-to-download PDF files. And, again, I think as we head into a future which could not be more perilous, I think getting that flash drive may enable you to tell your descendants about what happened. Why is it that they're living in a rusted-out Chevy sport van, and why they have to wake up in the morning and battle former Army Rangers for rat-killing turf. Again, that will at least enable you to potentially tell them the truth. I get no money whatsoever from this. Again, this is from my entire life's work. So, again, I'm not doing this for profit, but please, please, please get that 64-gigabyte flash drive. I'm in my 46th year on the air, and that will at least give you a running jump to being able to explain the past to the future. Again, there's a link on the SpitfireList.com website at the top of each written for-the-record description and each food for thought post that will enable you to obtain that flash drive. This concludes For the Record program number 1364. The return of Sebastian Gorka, false flag terror in London, ? This is being recorded on December 14th of the year 2024. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.